Welcome to episode number 31 of the Tennis Lifestyle Podcast. I'm Gianluca Sola. In today's episode, I interview Fernando Segal. It's an amazing interview and chat. He is one of the most, important, influential figures in world tennis. He's a world-famous development tennis specialist and expert. He's written several books, 11 books. He's directed lots of national federation development programs and systems. Amongst them, he's done Argentina, Mexico, Brazil, USA. He's the owner and operator of Segal Institute. And he's also the president of the GPTCA, the Global Professional Tennis Coach Association of Argentina, Mexico, and Chile. Hundreds of coaches and players and people in tennis follow his systems, his programs, and ATP players, for example, who have come out of his programs include Guglielmo Coria, David Nalbandian, and so on, many, many others. But more importantly, also Fernando, together with GPTCA, is organizing at the end of March, the 25th up until the 28th, the first World Tennis Conference. This is an amazing conference. You must go and check it out. It's on the website, World Tennis Conference. Anyway, I'll put all the details in the notes to the episode. It's really a one-of-a-kind World Tennis Conference for high-performance tennis coaches and tennis people. It's an amazing list of speakers. It's a who's who of the tennis world. Nick Bollettieri, Boris Becker, you name it. It's just a who's who, and everybody talking or giving a presentation better on specific tennis subjects. So Fernando organized this World Tennis Conference, and you must go and check it out. It's really, really excellent. But anyway, that's it. Listen to the interview. It's great. He has actually a lot of other stuff to talk about his coaching methods, about federations and his opinion on national federations, what they must do and must not do, etc., etc. And also at the end of the podcast, as usual, I've got my mega rapid fire quiz, which is always really good fun. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed. Ciao, ciao. Hi, Fernando. Thank you very much for taking time, especially, I think, on a Sunday. I'm really excited to have you on the Tennis Lifestyle Podcast. Where are you right now?
I'm in Mexico. Well, first of all, thank you, Gianluca, for the invitation. It's a privilege to be here. I am in Mexico City right now. And we have a place here, and with my.
I see. Fernando, are you? Your surname, because I wasn't sure. Is it Segal? Segal? How do you pronounce it?
In English, Segal.
Segal. Okay. And are you originally?
In Spanish, it's Segal.
Okay. So the real way, it's Segal.
Yeah.
The real, yeah. And are you originally from Argentina?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. But you live in, you live in the United States or in Mexico?
I'm living in Miami, in the United States, and in Mexico. We have a place here because we have several business here in Mexico and Central America. And also we have a place in Miami. We share places.
Oh, fantastic. And Argentina, I'm just asking because I've lived a couple of years in Buenos Aires and I've good memories. Is that where you're from?
I'm from Mar del Plata, which is the same the same city of Guillermo Vilas. We have same club, same master coach, And same tennis court we learned, but we have a difference of 8 years of age, you know, between him and he's older than me. But anyway, we are in the same place.
Okay, yeah, I've been there. I've been to Mar del Plata. Yeah. I just want to give a brief introduction to my listeners who maybe don't know you. You're an international development tennis specialist and builder. You've written 11 books. Hundreds of coaches are following your thoughts and tennis material. You've directed national development programs for federations and tennis projects in many countries, including Argentina, Mexico, Brazil, USA, so on. You're the president, the GPTCA, which, if people don't know what that is, it's the Global Professional Tennis Coach Association. You're the president of Argentina, Mexico, and Chile, owner and operator of Segal Institute, and ATP, WT players, just some of them who have, let's say, developed with your programs include, but just to name a few, Paula Ormachea, Victoria Rodriguez, Ana Sofia Sanchez, Lucas Gomez, Guillermo Coria, David Nalbandian, and Cara Black. That's just to name a few.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm missing something, but I also know at the end of this month, between the 25th and the 28th of March, you are organizing online together with GPTCA, the first World Tennis Conference for high-performance tennis coaches and tennis people. I've actually had a glance at that on the internet, and it looks incredible. I mean, it looks amazing. You have a who's who of the tennis world that will be speaking and giving presentations. It just looks incredible and very exciting. I mean, people, just to name a few, Boris Becker, Nick Bollettieri, Bogdan Obradovic, which, by the way, I interviewed a couple of weeks ago, and so on and so on. Fernando, how did this idea of starting this conference start? And, who started it? And what do you hope to achieve with this conference?
Oh, thank you, Gianluca. Thank you for the introduction. You were very kind. Let's say from the beginning of my career, because I almost 45 years of career on coaching tennis, I was more interested to develop coaches and to develop, we used to see, you used to mention behind the scene, you know, all the things that you need to create a system to develop players and coaches. That's why from the early beginning of my career, I started to work to study first and then to work with national programs to create an environment to coach the coaches and to develop systems to promote tennis, to increase participation, to create healthy environments of growth, different aspect which is very necessary to keep having, you know, the growing of our sport. In terms of that sense, for my experience with different national federations, like national director in some cases, and other cases like a consultant, doing also many private projects like academies, tennis organizations, work with different players, I realized that we need to create a change of paradigm, you know, in terms of how we deliver and we bring the information to the people who are in the day-by-day process and also on the field, on the tennis courts. Because in some way, tennis has a great, you know, gap and great opportunities to develop, increase the quality on process. That's why we start to work with the GPTCA, because this is the first conference. And I propose with my institute, my institute is working like a development and a very specialized lab in terms to bring technology, innovation, creativity, better performance, and different development plan. We used to say that we are the Pininfarina of tennis. The for the guys who are following the cars, okay. You know, Pininfarina is a special excited, and you know, in terms of designing, special designing is special projects. The same we are doing in we are doing the same in tennis, you know.
Okay,
and that's why we propose. I was a meeting with the board of the GPTCA, and I proposed to create a World Tennis Conference in terms to bring with many purposes. The first one is to bring the knowledge to people from the high performance coaches who are in the field. The second one was to create and that link. Let's talk more specifically about high performance, because sometimes when I was on different conference and many years of work, sometimes some presentation is too general talking about high performance. And high performance means to work on details. You can have a presentation talking, let's say, serve and volley. But serve and volley is too general. You can speak days about the serve and volley because you have different choices how to serve, different choices how to cover, how to volley. That's why we have to create a sense to talk more specifically and to try to move the needle of every coach at least 1%, 2% in that particular subject. It means we have to be more specific. That's why we create World Tennis Conference.
Okay, I understand. Yeah, very good. Is it so? It's basically to specialize more instead of talking about a subject in general terms. It's to try and make it more professional. Basically, try to talk more specifically about all the different aspects of tennis.
Absolutely. That's absolutely. Because you know, Gianluca, in terms of the gaps and the windows of opportunity in our profession, I truly believe from my experience, that's why I wrote many books and I'm doing my 12th book right now. It's we need to rise the level in our profession, bring more recognition, bring better certification. Mm. From my point of view, in the last 4 years in terms of coaching, we can talk in some specific things about methodology, but in terms of our profession, in terms of recognition, in terms of certification, in terms of how to be more specific in our profession, we didn't change anything in 4 years. That's why we want to create an environment that, in terms of high performance, you have to work more in detail. You have to bring the top guys, you know. This is one of the key concepts of the conference. We have never happened before. We have the 5 ATP players, we have the 5 ATP coaches and teams, you know, and the ranking, which has never happened. You know, it's like it's a top conference.
I saw the list. I mean, it's a never-ending list of the best. Yeah.
The thing is, it's not only because, of course, everyone can speak by hours. The thing is to inspire the coaches first with the message that information is available right now with the GPTCA. Secondly, we want to motivate the coaches to keep learning, to keep evolving, you know, to keep having, because this is never-ending, as you say, you know, process. And another thing which is very important, because we divided the conference in 4 big blocks, which is one is related about high performance in terms of tactical, technical aspect. Another was sports science. Saturday is a day with sports science specialists. We have physical trainers, sports psychologists, biomechanics, physiologists. We're talking about very specific aspects in terms of how to develop a high performance environment for players, but also we create a block of human transformation, because behind of the tennis player we have a human being. Quality in terms, if you see what happened with the big champions, let's talk about the big three, it was Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer. this is not about forehand and backhand. This is not about the serve. Of course, serve, volley, whatever is important. It's how they manage the pressure, how they manage themselves, how they behave in front of the people, how they keep learning, how they are humble and, you know, empty in some ways. Sure. And then they're looking always to feel of a knowledge and keep evolving. That's why we have to understand that tennis is an incredible sport to help to transform people.
Yes. Yeah, no, everything you said is, you know, I agree 100%. I mean, I already while you're talking, I had like a million questions in my head, and I could go off topic. But I mean, one of the things that comes to mind immediately is what you just said about coaches. And, you know, it's a sport that is continuously evolving. And I don't want to talk about South Africa only, but because I live here, but I think I noticed this also in some other countries I've been to. There is a tendency of people just learning something and sticking with that. And that seems to be the case with most coaches. Then obviously there are the ones that want to update themselves. And I think something like this obviously is extremely useful. Just for the listeners, if they want to learn more, there is a very good website. It's worldtennisconference.com, just to let them know they can find out everything there. But Fernando, I just want to ask you, because on your website, on the Segal Institute, there is so much information on you. But would it be correct in saying one of the things that you are maybe most well known is, what happens? Do federations actually ask you to come and work for them and develop systems in academies? Or how does it work?
Oh, well, in the past was more personally. I was hired for the federation to develop my first federation, which was my dream, like a tennis coach. And at the year 24, I decided to myself to be national director of Argentina. And it spent 12 years to achieve it, you know. And I say to myself, well, let's be prepared to be national director. And it was was like my dream. I was traveling around, learning from the Australians. I goes to Germany with Richard Schomburg. At that time, he was the national director of the German Federation. I went to England, to the United States. I studied almost 10 years traveling around, you know, different countries, cultures, mentality, organizations. And also did a lot of things in terms of to evolve myself, to be prepared. And the year 95, the future president of the Argentinian Federation, because I prepare, you know, my program to develop Argentina, at that time the president who is running to be president, you know, Enrique Morea, he used to be the most important player from Argentina until Guillermo Viles, you know, who was a big champion in the 50s. And he said to me, okay. If I'm going to be president, we want to make your program to change everything. And we did it. I started in May of 96. And the first year we changed everything. And the system to train coaches, the system to promote tennis. We created.
Sorry to interrupt you. How do you implement that practically? Do you go around the country to different academies? How does that work? Or do you do meetings?
No, the first movement at that time was, of course, be on the offices of the National Federation, because I did prepare all the information 4 years after, before, sorry. That's why we are fully prepared when we started. Day one, we know everything that we're going to change. We spend like almost 10 months to change everything, because even we change the national junior tournament structure. We change everything because we came in that time, we came from a period of time which we had pretty good players like Martin Haite, Alberto Mancini, Guillermo Perrodan. He used to be top 10 to top 20 on the world. And suddenly Argentina passed to have only two players in the top 100, you know, over the ATP 50 ranking. That's why we decide, okay, let's change that. When we made the change, okay, I started to have meetings traveling all the country, traveling in every state, putting regional programs. And also Argentina is a very centralized country. Everything yes. is, even we have big cities, you know, inside in the country. In Buenos Aires, you have everything. You know, Buenos Aires is the yeah. is the where every decision is made. But yeah,
it's made. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
why. That's why we, of course, for political reasons, I have to travel around. But we send in this period of time, we don't have internet like today. You know, it's, we have to. We yeah. but even though we create a very good communication program, and we put a long term vision, and we start to put money on the juniors, and we create a pretty good environment in terms of how to develop. I hire the best coaches available, you know, which great success on tennis in Argentinian tennis. We hired them to the national federation, and we create a national, you know, centers. We bring the juniors. We create. We make studies. We make also some books, you know, to train our junior program and on tennis schools, which kind of player we want, because Argentina at that time, they used to play only in clay courts. Yeah. You know, Gianluca, sure. one yeah. thing that we changed, on the first 4 months, we did an evaluation camp with the best players under 12, under girls and boys, and also under 14, under 10, and we did it in hard courts. And we prepared a document, okay. how many mistakes our players are doing to play in hard courts. And we create a document,
okay.
we create, rather to see which are the strengths, we evaluate which yeah. are in common, like mistakes, to all our best players.
Yeah.
We create a document, and we create a strategy to work with every tennis junior school in all the country, working on that. But that's the kind of thing we are doing.
Okay. Oh, fantastic. Wow. Fernando, that's very interesting. I've got a lot of questions, but I'll try and make one big one here. I've spoken to quite a lot of well-known coaches and you know, people in the past, tennis people, but the impression I get is that federations usually are seen very negatively. I mean, it's very seldom you hear good things about tennis federations when you speak to the people of the country. I mean, I come from Italy, and I heard only bad things growing up, and I've been living in South Africa, and you know, right now you don't hear very good things, I must be honest. It seems a very difficult task that needs some money, et cetera, et cetera. But what I want to ask you is, okay, maybe Italy right now is doing a few correct things, good things, but what are the key aspects to make a successful tennis nation, tennis federation? I have seen five key things that come up all the time. One is, obviously, you need good weather. That's a simple yeah. thing. Two, you need courts. Three, you need a lot of tournaments, futures challengers especially. Four, you need the federation to not work itself, but to assist the coaches and academies, and maybe use a bonus system or different systems like that. And five, I'm generalizing, you need a very also strong club culture. What, in your opinion, do you think that is correct, first of all? And secondly, what is your opinion, the key aspects to create a successful nation, federation of tennis?
Well, what a good question, Gianluca, is to talk like hours and days, but let's try to be short.
Problem.
Let's try to be sure. You are right. You're right in terms of some of the things that you described, but there are a lot more. Let's say first, let me say first that I did work for Federation, and also I did work by private academies. I design academies. Right now I have 27 different tennis academy in a network of academy using my system. Nobody can develop a tennis nation by itself, you know, nobody, even a tennis federation, you know, the most powerful tennis federation, they cannot reach everyone. And in most of the cases, it's a teamwork environment that we need to develop. In many cases in international tennis and some ones, national federation, they try to block, because tennis, one of the weaknesses from my point of view, there are a lot of weaknesses, but in terms, because that's why we need to keep growing like a sport. It doesn't care where you are. We are belong to the same ship. Yes. You know, we are in the same boat. That's why we need to have a stronger tennis. That's why we need to create an environment of growth for everyone, besides the political issues, besides the political, you know, entourage that you can have. The main thing here is that people, which is on the clubs, they have to understand first that nobody in the tennis federation is able to manage all the tennis aspect in the country. Nobody. Even in the United States, even in England, the most important federation, they try to do it, but also they have some academy programs and some individual projects which are doing everything alone, and they have success. The main aspect on the federation is to help them, not to block them. You know, it's try to push forward that they can reach success. Because when you have a player with success, it doesn't care which is the pathway. Could be from the tennis federation, could be in a private academy, could be a private coach, could be a family, you know, supporting with money and with different things, the player. But even when you have a player coming from Italy, which is right now in a high level of exposure and success right now, this Italy in terms of high performance players, but it coming from Argentina, coming from South Africa, coming from everywhere, first, you need to create an environment to teamwork. Even we are an individual sport, but in terms of organization, we have to help to grow tennis in the country first. Secondly, you can build a lot of tennis courts, a lot of tournaments, but also tennis, you need to develop the software. Software, because hardware is environment, it's a structure. You have in many countries, in Mexico. Mexico, probably, it's probably top 10 in you know, how many facilities you have. But in terms, that is hardware. Okay. But in terms of software, is how you manage that facility, how you develop your program, how you. And one of the things, going to the fine points that you describe it, it's important to have a pretty good software. And pretty good software means three things. First, create a tennis culture. You have in South Africa, you have a tennis culture. South Africa has been developed many champions during the years. But even though you have to work to create that culture in clubs and to create the long-term vision to develop. Secondly, to create more participation, because more people playing tennis, more chances to find the future champion. And that's why it's a software problem. Many countries are too worried and too concerned to develop high-performance players, and then they are not thinking on the most important benefit of tennis, that you can play all over your life. That's why we have to promote tennis, you know, in terms of participation, because the benefits of the sport by itself, you know, and that's why sometimes I say to the federation, in the same moment that you have a Davis Cup team or Fed Cup team, whatever, you know, with technical guys, which you have on the tennis federation, you have to reach the same level of team in promotional programs. Let's say if I put $100 in high performance, I have to put $100 in promotion and in training coaches, same level.
Okay.
And that's you keep evolving in terms of growing or how you grow your tennis. And the third point, which is more important, always the success of one country, the center acts is training coaches program. There is nine axes to develop a program in a country. The nine different programs axes you have to develop. The center one is to training coaches and training people. Let's say one of the weaknesses in tennis, Gianluca, let me go a little bit, you know, far of the conversation, but I will be going back. You know, to be a member of the board of the Olympics, you have to study in the Olympic Academy. You know, you have to study to be member of, you want to be a national member of the Olympic Committee in South Africa and Argentina, whatever. And at the same time, you have to study. There are four levels of for volunteers. There's a four level of courses and certification to be a manager, to be a volunteer, to be a politician of the sport. Why we don't have it in tennis? Why we don't have to be, you know, a volunteer? If you have to be a member of the federation, you need to understand international tennis. You need to understand how to manage. Sometimes a good businessman, you know, he wants to be on federation. He has money, good relationship. You know, he likes tennis. He loves tennis. You know, but even though,
but he doesn't understand
the process.
Yeah,
that's why this is one of the gaps we need to evolve on tennis. We need certification not only in coaches, also in guys who are running programs in terms of because, like I say, if you have it on the mother of the sport, which is the Olympic Committee, the International Olympic Committee, why don't do it in the National Federation?
Yeah.
To be member of the FIFA, which is the football, you know, organization, international organization, you have to develop a certification course. You know, that's the kind of thing that we need to keep improving in our sport. Sorry about it.
I see. No, excellent answer. No, you made very clear. I also understand it's a very, very complicated topic. You can't just answer it in 2 minutes. I hope I'm not keeping you too long. Yeah. I've got a few more questions, but one of them was just briefly, where did you start tennis? Well, how did you start getting into tennis?
Oh,
just curious.
I was born in Argentina, in Mar del Plata. Mar del Plata is a coast Atlantic town, city. I went to one club, which is the Club Náutico Mar del Plata. Was the same club of Guillermo Vilas. Guillermo Vilas was the great champion of Argentina. He won 4 Grand Slams, 62 tournaments. So this is one of the top 20 probably on history of tennis, the top guys. But my master coach, Felipe Lo Cicero, was his same master coach. And I started first, of course, to learn about how to play, whatever. But the year, when I was 16 years, I like more than compete. I liked more to work with others. I have my mind, my personality more focused in like a teacher, you know, let's say like a master, trying to help others. And that's why one time I went to Roland Garros to study high performance when I was 19. And before that, Felipe said to me, the same that Guillermo Vilas did, like a tennis player, you're going to do it but for coaches. You're going to be like a great guy helping others to evolve. And I used to say, I don't know if he put me like a carrot, you know, to try to catch, you know. It's like, or he saw in myself, you know, something like that. I really can help others. But anyway, I took the challenge. I start my journey to evolve myself, you know, to do that. Even I work with national federations. I know that we need a long distance to cover many opportunities that tennis has in terms of how to be more competitive and more fair sport. You know, that's why I started like this. I compete okay. in a national junior okay. tournaments, but always I prefer to teach yeah. rather to compete.
Okay, okay. Very interesting. By the way, there is an excellent Netflix documentary on Vilas. I don't know if you saw it. It came out recently.
I saw all the film and my master coach was there. Felipe was there talking. I appeared like 20 seconds together with Felipe. It was funny.
Okay. Watch it again.
I was like a 20 second, but yeah. it was an image of okay. me. I was on the back, you know, working with some kids. I was like 22 okay. years, you know. I'm 16 right now. It's like a long time okay. ago. But anyway, the thing is, but it was I know all, of okay. course, I know the producer, the guy who developed all the project, and it's
yeah. I actually interviewed him, yeah. Sebastian Gamba. I interviewed him a few months ago as well. Very interesting. Going back to your conference at the end of March, just again briefly, what will you be talking about? And is there any speaker presentations that you are looking forward to?
Well, I will talk about, of course, following my mental path. I speak in my presentation about how the brain and the mind is learning, because the way that the brain is learning is very systematically and very progressive. That's why when you develop a high performance player, you have to pay attention on details and be so organized in how you develop your plan. And because mm-hmm. we used to talk many times about the big champions, but the key in high performance is to develop a higher standard. You know, not all the top 100 players are yeah. superstars, but you have a lot of top 100 top players, you know, which are normal people, which with a very, very yeah. good systematic way to develop themselves. You know, that's why there are particular aspects in terms of the brain and the mind that were how they are working that we have to pay attention on that. And that's why my presentation is mm-hmm. talking about this. You know, how you, when you make a program, you have to pay attention how the brain and the mind is learning. Let me give you an example. No, just a small example. Many yeah. academies yeah. around the world, no, it's doing some fun mm-hmm. games at the end of the training session, you know. But in tennis, yes. The people who, or the player who will win the match is the people or the player who is winning the last 2 points. You can play for 3 hours, but the key is to win the last 2 points. You know, that when you win the last 2 points, yes. it's like you are winning the match. Even you play 3 hours, and the match was so close. But anyway, the guy and the sprint, he has the sprint on the final moment, is the winner. And that's many times on, yeah. on Tennis Academy around the world. No, it's not in any particular country, around the world. They train the mind and the brain mm-hmm. of the kids having fun at the last 10 minutes or 20 minutes of the training session, which is all is a controversy and okay. it's opposite what you need on the mental side yeah. of the tennis player. You need at the end, it's like we yeah. used to say, like a lion mentality. The last 5 minutes, you have to be very yeah. focused, yeah. very, because you are closing the match. And that's a way that you have to change yeah. your system, how you proceed in your system, in your mm. academy. And you can say to all your your players, yeah. last 5 minutes, I want a lion mentality. I want a full power, full concentration, full commitment. Okay. Let's go. And you're training that.
Very good. Yeah.
That's the way.
Very good. Okay. Very, very good. Yeah. So you get them repeatedly used to giving the best or the most right at the end. Yeah. And that's when it matters.
That's how it is. Yeah.
Maybe you should have the fun part at the beginning.
The first 10 minutes. You can use it, but never
or in the middle,
because you have to train them. You have the training.
Never in the middle.
That's why we used to say, Gianluca, that it's very important that players and coaches understand the game. There is a lot of methodological concept we need to change on tennis. This is one, but to make an example, you know, but you need 10,000 stimulus, 10,000 stimulus to develop one stroke, which means one stroke is one stimulus is one ball hit it by with your racket. You need at least, in the correct way, 10,000 stimulus do it to develop your stroke. And let's say, let's talk about the forehand. In the forehand, we have 54 different forehands. How many repetitions you have to do that? How many has to be in a right quality to develop a high performance, you know, in terms of technique, but in same in terms of mentality, you know, in terms of another thing which is very important in terms to talk a little bit about tactical concepts and methodology, it's the level of the will. When you design a drill, you have to ask to the player how much commitment, how much emotional control, how much. It's not only a tactical, technical drill that you are doing. You have to reach also the human being side, the human being factor, and work on that, you know. And to complete your question, of course, we have 61 presentations. Of course, Tony Nadal, Ivan Ljubicic, Janko Tipsarevic, Frederic Fontan did, because we recorded, Frederic Fontan, which is the coach of Felix Auger, he did at least 50 different suggestions for coaches in his presentation. Incredible presentation, you know. You have also Reinier Schulter talking about feelings. You know, we touch different concepts, which is not only the forehand or the backhand. Of course, Dick Hordoff talking about the future of the game. We have Boris Becker talking about how to have a strong mentality. There are a lot of different things. Of course, every presentation is between 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not enough time, of course, to complete or the overall idea.
Yeah.
But it's very inspirational and very clear presentation to understand more. I used to say, if we move in every coach at least 2% the needle, we achieve a great result.
No, amazing. Wow. Really, really interesting you speaking to you. I want to say something. You know, I'm not a tennis expert or coach, or you can all these things, but I'm an enthusiast, and I think I know more than the average person, let's put it that way. And I'm a passionate person about tennis, but I want to ask you a question that might come across as very stupid, but it's always been at the back of my mind, and I think I know the answer. But do you think if a player, I don't want to say stupid, but do you think it is clue that the tennis player does not think much when he is playing? Or in other words, if a player is maybe not a very thinkative person, stupid is maybe the wrong term, but do you think that helps a lot for a player? Or is that just something silly I'm saying?
Let's say in that way, when you are on match, you don't have too much time to think. You have to prepare, you know, before all your tactics and all your plays, you know, that's because we know that the brain and the mind is doing, which call it automatic response. You know, you have to, that's why tennis is a great sport, because it's challenging you all the time to have immediately a feedback. If you hit something and it's wrong, the ball is out or the ball is in the net. And that's why, to prepare people to the life, that's why tennis is an incredible sport, because we are talking about champions. But you know, Gianluca, I have more tennis players which are right now engineers, architects, lawyers, doctors, which they become great competitors for life because they learn to adapt themselves to the situation since when they were 8 years, 10 years, 9 years, 11, 12, they manage the situation. They are alone on court. They have to take decision. They have to read the opponent, read the situation, adapt to the different environment. And that's why the key aspect to think, let's say to think, is when you have the time between points and between the games. You have to adjust.
So sorry to interrupt you. I agree with you, but I'm saying the very top tennis players at the top of the sport, those moments where you think in between points that maybe you get emotional, etc., isn't it better to have no thought? So maybe the ones that are a bit, I don't want to say stupid, but the ones that are less prone to thinking, can you develop that? Or is it, that are just naturally like that?
You have thoughts. You cannot stop talking your mind, you know. You have thought. The key question in tennis is how you manage that thought. How you direct your thought in a very positive way. Big champions, it's making reinforce, you know, in terms of the tactical concept or the decision or the moment. We used to say you have the devil and the angel talking to your brain, no? Talking to your mind. And you say to the devil, okay, be shut. Don't talk too much. And then the other guy is saying to you, no, let's do this. And then you take the advice, you know, the good things. My point is, always you have the thoughts. The key question, the key aspect is that you start to manage and to reinforce which kind of things you want. Sometimes when the game is too emotional, of course, emotion, the positive thoughts. And sometimes it's happened. That's why many times you can see even the great champions making mistakes, easy mistakes in terms. Why it's possible you do that? Remember, you know, the final of Wimbledon. I think it was 2 years ago. Federer against Djokovic, too much point, and he served to the forehand. Yeah. You know, he served to the forehand of Djokovic. You know. And that's saying, and Djokovic probably, for sure he has the better, he's the better returning in terms of the game. And he served even to try to make servant volley to serve to the backhand. He chose to serve to the forehand, putting Djokovic inside of the court. And then he missed the opportunity. But, you know, we can say that. But if he has success, the history is different. No? The thing is,
Fernando, I promise you, last four questions, you can be very quick. I promise you. I noticed you have an incredible racket collection. Where did it start? And is there any special rackets that you own?
Thanks, Gianluca. That's quite good. Racket collection. I know many guys which they have more rackets than me. I have like 240 rackets since 1880. Well, the old one that I have is 1877 and until 1980. I started one time in Indian Wells, 1998. I was with a player in Indian Wells, and suddenly I watched a lot of people around on the stand zone, you know, and I was always very curious about marketing companies and the other part of tennis. And I was taking a look on that. I was the American Tennis Collectors Convention. And suddenly I realized at that time how poor is our knowledge, like tennis coaches, about the evolution of the tennis racket. Even there is no only tennis racket. There was clothes, tennis clothes, tennis balls, a lot of things. And immediately I bought a couple of collectors' tennis books, you know, in terms of rackets, and I start to buy. And immediately I start to try to find from my time, in terms of the players of my time, let's say all the rackets of John McEnroe, all the rackets of Vilas, all the rackets of Borg, all the rackets of Lendl, I try to buy all the racket that he uses, you know, in terms of course, commercial racket, no, the racket of themselves. But my point was try to complete my collection and to understand more. And I have a couple of rackets. I have my old racket, which is a junior racket, and also I have a woman racket, 1877, which is one of the most valued racket that I have. I have different grips in terms of, because until 1920, you don't have leather, you have a cover grip on the rackets, and you have different styles of the wooden rackets, which is the fish tile, the cork tile, the ball tile, and that's have all of them, which is for my, it's more like to understand more the evolution and to have some of the history on my wall.
Okay. If you have to pick one, is there one special one, your favorite?
I have a couple of rackets of Guillermo Viles, which is he used to play, but also I have a racket which is two rackets which are so good for me. One is the Schlesinger Demon Fish Tail, which is a very particular racket, and also which is the Hassel Streamline, which is a racket of 1930, which is like an icon for tennis collectors.
Okay. Last question, Fernando. Do you think tennis is in a good moment? I sometimes get the feeling that it is not very appealing to the younger generation that want quick entertainment. They want to see something exciting and quickly. Do you think it will be left behind from other sports? And what does tennis have to do to maybe survive?
I think right now Andrea Gaudenzi is in the right spot in terms of how to develop, because we, in terms of high performance, our sport has to evolve more like a show in terms how to appeal to the new generation and to be more attractive, respecting the, you know, the tradition, and respecting also make a balance between that. I think our challenge is more focused in terms of participation and to have a better coaches environment, and to have to adjust our programs to the needs of the people, because we are the number one sport in the world, like individual sport, and we to keep having that, we have to change a little bit how we are doing things. You know, we have to resolve one problem. There are seven different organizations running tennis, which is so political, you know, and I think in terms of the health of the game, we need to create a common table to discuss at least the aspect that we are in the same page, you know, rather of the differences, no?
You know these people. Do you think Gaudenzi will be able to merge these organizations or some of them?
It's a question of all of us. We need to help on that. We know that some people will resist about it, because for particular interests or political interests or for good reason. Anyway, the thing is how we bring everybody. From my point of view, Gianluca, there are three words, and we are putting in our three words which are so important for tennis. First, to empowerment, which is empower everybody. It doesn't care if it's an individual program, academy program, club program, like tennis federation, like ITF, ADP, WTA. You have to empower tennis, and you empower if you have a very positive message to bring people, to lead them, you know, in the right way. Second, united, we need to create some way, union in terms of the most important aspect of how to evolve like as international sport. And I think Andrea Gaudenzi is trying in my small piece of land. I'm trying. That's why I create World Tennis Conference. You know, it's like everybody has to try. And the third, word, which is, from my point of view, very important in tennis, is unique. Nobody is equal to the others. We have to create, like you are doing with your program, a unique program as well.
Okay, fantastic. Fernando, I really, really like and enjoyed this conversation. I think I could speak to you much longer. But my podcast, I always end it with a quick rapid fire. I ask a question and you answer it like with one word or very short. Are you ready to do it? Can you do it? Okay. What was your very first memory of tennis?
Time with my master coach.
Define what type of player you are, if somebody's never seen you.
I like to hit in many different ways and enjoy myself using all courts.
If you have to pick a player, current or even of the past, who resembles you the most?
The past. If I'm going back, Bill Tilden. Let me say, because Bill Tilden was not only the number one, he wrote 20 books. And that's why I think this guy was different. And right now, of course, it's difficult because Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer, they represent the best of the game. Backhand.
Your best shot. I think I know this. Tennis idol when you were growing up. Currently favorite player, like male or female?
He's managing the game.
Okay. I'm going to put you in the spot here. List the big three, Djokovic, Nadal, Federer, from your favorite to least favorite.
Tough, you know. But in terms, of course, I think even taking out the results, they represent different things, you know. Nadal represents the human transformation and how you have to develop yourself like human being. I think in that, Rafa is the best one. In terms of talent and how to manage and to understand the game and to understand the business, Roger is the best one. He's the complete guy, let's say. And Djokovic, even sometimes his statements are not so good. I know his intentions. And in terms of how he managed his tennis, probably he is a full player. You know, it's very good. That depending which area, you know, you can pick the best one.
I don't want to sound an expert or anything, but I would have said exactly the same. I think exactly the same thing.
Best tournament.
From them. No, tell me.
It's like even though everyone can can say this one or the other one, the three of them, you know, represent the continuous evolution that a human being and a profession has to face.
Best another tournament in the world,
because like Argentinian, of course, Roland Garros, but in terms of tennis tournament, I think Indian Wells, beside the Grand Slams, is the best tournament.
Favorite surface. What's the most amazing tennis experience you have ever had?
Well, I have many. When I published my first book in terms of to bring knowledge to coaches was incredible, you know, and do a lot of, presentation with many former tennis players from Argentina, many key guys, and also to win tournaments, which is Grand Slam Junior Tournament, was a great also. Of course, to talk hours, days, and with the great guys. There are a lot of different type of experience. There is no, I'm not the guy who is enjoying a tournament. From my point of view, the tournament is the result of the pathway. That's why I enjoy more the journey rather than the final result, because the final result is a 1 minute success. That's it. And immediately you are thinking the next tournament. Immediately. Okay. You know, that's why it's not related more than tournaments, it's related more in the process, no?
You have to book a restaurant and invite three players, male, female, any era, it doesn't matter. Which restaurant do you go to?
Okay.
And which players
do you invite? That's a tough question because Argentinian likes the meal. Of course, an asado, which is a barbecue, you know, an Argentinian asado, which is well renowned about it. And also, I love pasta. My Italian side also. The pasta restaurant is one of my favorites. And players, let's say, if I have chance right now, I will bring all the new generations and to try to talk with them about which kind of legacy these players are talking about, you know, to give into them, and then how they can take the stick. Let's do it in like a posta, no? Like you take the stick right now and how you have to behave, how to represent tennis, and which kind of message, and you have to work. Even you are competing, you are a team, you know?
But Fernando, Sinner, which three new generation? Give us some names.
Munar, Tsitsipas, of course, Medvedev, all those guys, which is less of 24 years. I think this is from the new generation. And probably I will invite the new generation in terms of junior champions. No, I think this is another aspect that in tennis we have to work. We have to recreate a link between the new guys coming with the guys who are in the intermediate, you know, time and the new, you know, the old ones. And I think we need to work on that. If I have the chance, I will invite all of them. No, I need a big wallet to do that. But you know,
Anyway, as I was saying earlier, I live in Buenos Aires, and I've ate more meat in 1.5 years than I've done all my life. Give us a name of the best steakhouse of Parigia in Buenos Aires.
One which is my favorite, which is Cambalache, which is very good.
Have you got a paper?
Cambalache, name of one tango, and also you can go there, and it's very good meat.
Yes. Do you like cooking?
You know, every Friday to my family, I used to do pasta in different ways, different type of pasta.
Okay.
They know that Friday is Italian day.
Okay.
And sometimes on the weekend, we do like a barbecue, like asado for like a sausage meat and whatever.
Asado, okay. Topping. What's your favorite pizza topping?
Very classical guy. Tomato sauce, cheese, and that's it. No, I don't. Old-fashioned guy.
Margarita. Okay. Do you have any particular hobby? Something maybe different from tennis.
It's very important for me, and also I do biking many times when I have time, and I do it. Of course, I try to play tennis also 2 times per week. No.
Oh, okay. You still play. And many tennis players are superstitious. Are you superstitious?
What a good question. I don't have too many, but I have a couple, you know, like don't walk, you know, behind the stairs. If a black cat is coming, you know, you have to do something, you know, it's like this. A little bit, you know.
So you are superstitious.
Well, how my grandmother said, just in case.
Yeah. How many hours do you sleep on average at night?
I try to have 8 hours at least per day.
Oh. Okay. Favorite country in the world?
Man, tough question too, because every country has something different. I like a lot France, Italy, of course, Croatia, Serbia, also that kind of countries. I like it. England in some way in the north, Ireland, Scotland, Argentina, of course, Mexico. It's a different, it's a tough one.
Okay.
Paris.
Okay. Favorite city? Is tennis the most difficult sport in the world?
Probably in terms of the condition, yes. No, I don't know if it's the most difficult, but for sure it's the one who asking you to put everything. You know, it's like you cannot play tennis, with shortcuts. Doing medium effort and everything. You cannot play it in that way. You have to put all of yourself in everything.
Okay. In order of importance, what is the most important to the least important? Talent, technique, fitness, mentality.
Well, let's say, can I put one more? The mentality, of course.
Well, which is the most important?
The second, from my point of view, and the second, is the most physical attribution, then technical, and then talent.
Okay. If you were not involved in tennis, what would you be doing right now?
Yeah. I think
a lot of people are singing. It's interesting.
One of the choices I'm going to take is to sing. It's like, I think it's the art. It's the art that I will choose it in my next life if I have it.
Okay. In 2050, so more or less 30 years from now, will tennis look the same or will it be very different?
It will be very, very different. You know, in terms, of course, the basic concept will still be there, but in terms how we promote, how we recognize coaches, how to work like a team, how to have a show, how, of course, will be very, very different in terms of the processes. And also, Gianluca, if you compare what happened in the last 15 years, the evolution of tennis is huge.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm going to give you different shots, and you have to give me a name, male or female.
Sampras.
Any era, eh? Serve.
Djokovic.
Return.
Roger.
Forehand.
Roger Federer.
Sorry?
Oh, Agassi.
Oh, okay. Backhand.
Edward.
Volley.
Korea.
Drop shot.
Yeah. Can be movement. Very good. Movement.
Movement.
I think Rafael Nadal. Rafael Nadal.
Mental toughness.
Marcelo Rios.
Touch feel. Presence, aura. Roger Federer. Fernando, this is, I promise, the last one. Ask yourself a question and answer it.
To be recognized? That's the question. My final answer is
okay.
Like a tennis coach who coached the coaches.
Ah, okay, fantastic. Thank you, Fernando. I didn't know what to expect from you. I must be very honest. I did do a bit of reading and I read up, but I can already tell in this, I think we are just about an hour. I really thank you for this hour, and you are definitely an extremely interesting person. I could speak to you much longer. And again, thank you very much. And I hope your conference will go, which I'm sure it will, a success. And maybe speak to you again sometime in the future.
You know, and to have an interview. I enjoy it a lot. Thank you very much. You know, man.